All right, what's going on, B? How you doing today, man?
All right, man.
Hey, thank you for joining me in the studio, brother.
Always good to be in the studio.
Absolutely, and we are on episode 16 of the By the Block podcast.
Episode 16, episode Who's Disturbing Us, episode 16. Uh-oh.
Gotta silence those phones.
As soon as we start dropping knowledge, we're trying to put a couple deals under contract, so I know... It's going to be one of those weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you guys for joining us on the Buy the Block podcast, where we actually teach you how to buy it, rent it, profit. We got our host, Brian Chavis, in the building, bestselling author of Buy It, Rent It, Profit. He's also author of The Landlord Entrepreneur and started up Brian Chavis Coaching and Consulting. You can learn more about him at brianchavis.com. My name is Nathan Johnson. I do business development with Brian Chavis, and you're joining along on our journey to growing our own portfolios. But our goal is to help you guys, you know, grow and succeed. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about today, we're diving into your book, Buy, Rent, and Profit. There's a section on the Scioto process, part two. So we've already talked about the strategic evaluation of a target area. But there's also part two, which is due diligence on a subject property.
Correct.
And so why is due diligence important to, managing these properties or acquiring a property? Why are we doing due diligence? Why is this a part of the process?
Yeah. Well, this is where, you know, the rubber meets the road.
Okay.
So this is now you're evaluating. You've put a letter of intent out. Now you're looking to evaluate the actual asset. So,
okay.
You know, a ton of people talk about this subject. This is one of the most sexiest parts of real estate investing, the due diligence. Tons of boot camps out there, you know, that, you know, get really involved with this. But I think we bring a different perspective, and I hope to share that today with a little bit more of a granular look. There's various different classes and levels.
Absolutely.
Of the knowledge that it takes to perform these. So, you know, a lot of your private equity firms, a lot of your guys in the multifamily industry, you know, they have detailed spreadsheets and dashboards, and hope to kind of really introduce everybody and buy, rent, and profit to the process, and then hope to take it to the next level and, exactly. and get a little more granular here in the podcast.
And yeah, we are going to take a deep dive into the due diligence process. So I'm going to take you step by or line by line through some of the pieces that you listed in your book. And before we get started, would love for you guys to, take out your phones, subscribe to By the Block podcast, leave a review if
Please
you're enjoying it.
Subscribe.
And we want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, Buy It, Rent It, Profit, best-selling book for property management, real estate, acquisition of properties. This book is in the U.S. Library of Congress for, property management and investing. It's rated one of the number four on the National Association of Realtors top 10 real estate books.
Of all time.
So yeah, you know, such a great book. And this podcast is also brought to you by the Multifamily Matrix, which is our training and coaching program. That's where investors start and investors grow. So make sure to join us every week. We do our coaching every Thursday, 10 a.m. Go to brianchavis.com/matrix. And let's get into it, man. So as we are going into due diligence, in the book, you start with sales comps. So why are we looking at sales comps? Why is that part of the due diligence process?
Yeah, well, just trying to, again, get an idea. So, you know, keep in mind, with our listeners, there's going to be those who are just starting out.
Right.
So I want to kind of talk in terms of maybe the individual that doesn't have a team.
Excellent.
So let's go there. We'll talk about how I do it.
Okay.
Then we'll talk about how I began.
Right.
You know, the origins, because now we have a team.
Okay.
We got junior and senior underwriters. Big shout out to Cashman Joe Ebanks, who, you know, kind of handles like the contract, the LOI process, then
Absolutely.
Gets involved with the, you know, with the, any rehab that needs to be, you know, created. He's a major part of that, plays a major part of that, a role in that. So there's a team now. With Chavis Capital. But in the beginning, you know, a lot of our listeners, you know, it may be just them and a few of their partners.
Okay.
So, you know, individuals are going to have to divide the work. You know, you're going to have to run and probably, you know, work with a, that's why it's pretty smart to work with commercial brokers. Mm. Not saying you have to get all your deals from them because, you know, they're quite pricey.
Right.
But to build a relationship, to be able to leverage that relationship and have access to sales comps and seeing, you know, the emails that come out of properties that have sold and, you know, because not everyone's going to be able to afford CoStar and Reonomy and a lot of these other platforms that cost so much. You know, there's a ton of pursuit costs that are not talked about when looking for multifamily acquisitions.
Right.
You know, a lot of pursuit costs that are not really mentioned in a lot of, material, education or training materials. But there's pursuit costs. There's costs to do business.
Okay.
So how do you leverage that in the beginning when you probably don't have two nickels to rub together?
Right.
So it's really leveraging relationships. And one of those is with commercial brokers. So you're always trying to keep your finger on the pulse of what's out there and then mainly what's sold. So you understand what's trading out there. So you understand, you know, what value is, you know, where are our values right now? Where are they currently? And where are they more importantly, what are they trending? You know, what direction are they trending? For me, it's always, the ability to forecast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I always kind of find myself is forecasting.
Right.
You know? So how do you forecast? Of course, we're going to get into that, but, you know, the ability to use those sales comps is really important to help with that process.
Absolutely. And then, so moving on from sales comps, now you've got the rent growth forecast, just like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and the market survey. So what are we doing with that? Why is that important to due diligence?
Well, yeah, you know, the market survey is going to help me with the rent forecasting as well as employment.
Okay.
So, you know, there's various factors when I'm looking to forecast. You know, the term people use is pro forma.
Okay.
So when I'm looking to forecast rents and the growth or decline, I'm looking at employment. There's always a lag, 3 to 4 month lag. Employment, 3 to 4 month lag on how it affects the actual targeted prospect tenant demographic. So that time frame, 3 to 4 months. It's not an absolute, but
right.
Yeah, it's a time frame. So I'm looking at those key indicators.
Okay.
Then I'm looking at, you know, the household income, employment, you know, I'm looking at market surveys, you know, where rents are currently in the marketplace. And then I'm using all that information to be able to forecast rent schedules. When I can forecast rent schedules, then I can forecast net operating income. When I can forecast net operating income, then I can forecast value. Because when you look at all of the formulas that determine value on a property, cap rates, net present values, IRRs, all of the formula, all take in consideration net operating income.
Excellent, excellent. And we have some resources for you guys on our website, brianchavis.com. You can also find rental comp, forecasting tools on Landlord Academy as well. So make sure you guys go visit those sites. And then another portion of due diligence is you look at vacancy. Why are we looking at vacancy as part of due diligence?
Another KPI, another key,
okay.
Whatever the hell KPI stands for.
Key performance indicator.
Yeah. So another KPI, it helps me understand where we are in the market. And again, forecasting. So, you know, what is the appetite of my prospect tenant? You know, what's going on? That's something that just we talked about in our coaching program today. That's something that's constantly going. These skills, this SEOTA, this strategic evaluation of a target area, this process doesn't stop.
Right.
This process does not stop. This process continues. It moves. It's flowing.
Right.
Ever flowing. As long as you own the investment, as long as you're in the business.
Yep.
And it has ebbs and flows. And the individual who can predict those ebbs and flows, those are the individuals who usually win. The key is, for me, real estate does a great job of hiding a lot of mistakes.
Exactly.
Especially as you own more units.
Correct.
So everyone looks like a genius. But it's really important to be able to navigate early 2000s and 2008, really in the 2008 when things hit the fan. And, you know, you can see I was able to navigate for a lot longer than most, as far as properties going back on foreclosure, or going back to the bank, because of our ability to operate, boots on the ground at the operational level. So really understanding how to predict, how to forecast, understanding your prospect tenants' demographics so you're not over-improving. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about this. Let's talk about Park Plaza. When we came in there, I didn't over-improve. I see now some certain opportunities based on the changes with my prospect tenants' demographics and the things that they want to see in that marketplace. I'm starting to see a slight change and an upward tick on amenities as it pertains to actual stepping up our game.
Correct.
With our rental units, i.e., you know, softer color tones,
yep,
baseboards, get rid of the popcorn ceilings, maybe put in the knockdown baseboards and crown molding. So you're seeing an uptick in what people are looking for, a more sophisticated prospect tenant, because my rents now have increased. Mm. So now we're attracting a difference. So just my point is you're always, it's always changing. It's never,
right.
It's never standing still. It's never a Polaroid. You know what I mean? It's a motion picture. It's constantly always flowing. So you have to understand the strategic evaluation of a target area. Correct. And you have to know how it's applicable to your particular subject property because it's changing. So your management plan is always constantly flowing and changing. When you see things not working and you see high vacancy rates, you're able to see these KPIs and be able to make the proper adjustments. Properties sitting on the vacancies.
Yep.
For, you know, so if you have a vacant unit and it's sitting, it used to go at, when you had the rents at 900, it used to only take 3 days. Now you got the rents at 960, 980, 990. Now it's sitting on the market for maybe 2 weeks.
Wow.
So you're looking at, you know, the loss to lease. You're looking at all this revenue with vacancies.
Correct.
And it's giving you, the answer is always there.
Right.
For those who know how to research, the answer is always there on what you need to do next. And then, so, you know, you take that information, if you know how to gather it,
right,
and if you know how to look for it through the CEOTA process, and then that's how you make your proper adjustments within your management plan.
Absolutely. I love it, man. I mean, let me just stop here. So you guys can get a free resource from our website, brianchavis.com. If you go to brianchavis.com/DD action list, you're going to get a free download of our action list as well. So make sure to go to brianchavis.com/DD action list. And so we've talked about sales comps. We've talked about rent growth. We're forecasting our market survey and vacancies. But now we've got maintenance and home inspection. Why is this also a part of due diligence and why is that important?
Maintenance and due diligence is important because, again, as you set up your team, and, you know, in the beginning, it may be you.
Yep.
So you're going to have to walk, you know, talk to our coaching clients today. Some of them may have the resources for pursuit costs, so you may not. But you're going to have to budget a couple of $100 to get you a maintenance technician. Mm. If you don't know where one is, if you know, that's why it's important to hold these meetups and recruit talent to your meetups. But if you haven't, then, you know, you head to an apartment building, you find out where the maintenance shed is, and you go and speak to, you know, some of the maintenance techs and see,
right,
who wants to make money on their off hours, you know, to come help you walk units.
Right.
You give them a couple of $100, $150 to help you walk units. You have a maintenance technician go in and walk those units. They're able to look at those units. They're in units all day, Nathan. They know what it takes.
Exactly.
They also know and place orders. If it's a maintenance supervisor, they're placing orders.
Right.
With, you know, Home Depot, Pro Desk,
Lowe's.
Lowe's.
HD Supply.
HD Supply is
correct,
what I was thinking.
Correct.
So they're placing orders every day in their catalog or on their app.
Yep.
So they know the pricing. They know what it takes to turn. They have budgets that they have to stick to. So they know what it takes to turn a unit. You know, they're pretty hip on trends. But at the end of the day, they're going to be able to walk into a rental unit and tell you exactly what's going on. You know, I get that a lot with Joe. You know, he's able to, because he's done so many flips and rehabs, I feel like that's why I recruited him for this particular position. He's able to walk a property and tell you exactly what you're looking at. You see, you know, cracks in foundations, cracks in, you know, imperfections or, you know, things, you know, with the rental unit. Maintenance guy is saying one thing, Joe's able to bring some another perspective. So
right,
at the end of the day, you're able to at least narrow in on what it's going to cost, operating costs, you know, when you make your assumptions into your underwriting spreadsheet. You feel confident that, you know, your assumptions are actually spot on because the margins are so tight nowadays because the values are so high. Margins are so tight that, you know, you have to get this right. You know, being off just a little bit,
yeah,
can mess around and cause you not to meet your promote or your pref to where, you know, as the general partner, you know, you might not meet, you know, reach your goals. So, you know, you have to kind of really narrow in. And that's why you're bringing in the perspective of maintenance guys and contractors if you have access to them.
Got it. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, so yeah, keep that in mind, guys, as you guys are, you know, acquiring these investments, managing people's assets.
And the key takeaway here, too, is because, you know, a lot of our viewers are maybe starting out. That's why it's important, you know, to possibly start your meetup. You know, if you're not seeing what you want to see out of some of your subgroups or your meetings or your get-togethers or your reels or whatever it may be, then, you know, start your own meetup. And, you know, this is why you want to get out there and network and build relationships, because at the end of the day, it's key. Go to your local RIA. You know, go to your local meetups. If you haven't, if you don't have one, you start your own. Or if you start your own after you've gone to a few, this is how you start building your network. So you're able, when your opportunity comes and your time comes, you're able to quickly assemble your team.
I love it. I love it. So now that we've assembled our team, we're, you know, looking at maintenance, we're looking at vacancies. You also listed that you should be doing a market survey rental income check. So this is looking at the rent roll and the actual rents. Why are we looking at rent rolls and actual rents collected as part of a due diligence process when we're acquiring these properties?
Because they say that the devil's in the detail. They also say numbers never lie.
Okay.
Which is a false statement.
Right, right.
I can make numbers lie on a spreadsheet. I can make numbers lie on a lease contract. I can tell you that I'm getting, you know, $1,100 for your rental unit, but then verbally offer you a concession.
Right.
And it not show up on the lease contract, but where it will show up is in the bank statements, because I'll see the income that's being collected on that unit not match up with the leases. So being able to do what we call a forensic audit and making sure that, you know, that we're doing performing a forensic audit on lease contracts, you know, vendor contracts, etc. You know, that's really important to be able to understand exactly what the income is being produced on that property.
Love it. And then so now that we've looked at our rent rolls, we've seen the income that's being produced, you actually comb through the leases in what you call a lease audit.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this part? Why are now? I mean, we've already seen what the income produces. Why are we looking at leases?
Because rent roll is not going to just, you know, divulge income. It's going to speak to you about, you know, a 90-day lease ledger.
Right.
It's going to see, you'll be able to see who's delinquent on the property,
okay,
who's a habitual delinquent. You're also able to see, more importantly, renewals, who's coming up for renewal.
Right.
Because at this time, you know, if they haven't converted over to your lease contracts or your forms, your qualifying criteria, your rules and regulations, this is an opportunity for you to do that. Because for the most part, you're not going to be able to convert them over if they're not willingly ready to be converted over to your lease. But now, in the renewal process, this is where you're going to convert them into your rules and regulations and your qualifying criteria. So you're also going to want to know this is where you're able to increase or implement your rate increases as well. So, or get rid of tenants at the end of the day. So, you know, if there's a few tenants that units that you have selected, you with your contractor and your maintenance technician have selected to rehab, this is the opportunity to actually, you know what I mean, wipe your hands clean of that lease contract and allow that tenant out of their lease so you can get in there and perform the rehab. I've had to do that several times.
Excellent, excellent. And I love how thorough this is. I mean, you guys know, as you've been listening to this podcast, that, you know, we're quick, but we don't hurry.
Right.
But, you know, some people, as I've been working with you, Brian, I see it, it's just so in a rush to get some points on the board, you know, to get that property under contract. I'm an investor. Yeah, you're holding a, you know, over-leveraged property is what you're doing.
So
now that we've looked at the leases, we're looking at escrow accounts. So, I mean, this is so thorough. Why are now, I mean, we've already looked at rent rolls, we've looked at leases. Why are we looking at escrow accounts?
Yeah, so you want to take a look at your security deposits.
Right.
You know, because ultimately, as the new owner, you're responsible.
Mm.
So if the owner says this is where the security deposits are, but it doesn't match up with the leases, any discrepancy, you're responsible for that when you purchase the property. So you want to make sure that that is disclosed and that is accurate. So before you close, that they either need to put in money into those to get them to match the lease contracts. Because, you know, after the contract and the deal is done, you know, if there's any discrepancies and the tenant says, oh, no, you know, I've given you $1,000 in security deposit and there's only $600. You're responsible for the difference. So you just want to make sure that, you know, you're not left holding the bag, as well as, you know, with all the accounts, is making sure that if you're, you know, depending on where you are in that cycle, when it comes time to, for the closing, you know, you the owner might be collecting rents. You want to make sure that they're collecting rents,
right?
But they're putting it in some sort of escrow account, so they're not walking off with your rent money the day after closing. They're nowhere to be found. Because, you know, they don't have to necessarily show up to closing. So they can do a virtual closing or, you know, they don't have to be present.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you want to make sure that those rent monies are in there and they're all, you know, they've all matched up to the rent rolls and that, you know, every last dime cent has been collected.
Wow. Okay. And then so you've got here listed bad debt as well. So What do you consider bad debt? Why are we doing due diligence on that?
Yeah, lost the lease. Okay. So bad debt, you know, there's a big difference between physical occupancy and economic occupancy.
Okay.
Physical occupancy, someone staying in a rental unit, but they're not paying you any rent. So, you know, there's no, you know, we're not interested in physical occupancy.
Right,
we want economic occupancy. So, you know, if there's a tenant, they're 30 days, 60 days late. Sometimes, you know, you'll come into situations where tenants haven't paid rent in the last 30 days, disputing on maintenance or whatever it is. You know, that's something that needs to be addressed. So, you know, typically I'll approach the seller and tell them that they need to get that person underway as far as the eviction process is concerned and make sure that they're the one financing that eviction. Not I'm inheriting this property. Now I just realize that this tenant is in arrears. They might be a habitual late payer. Now that individual, after his contract is closed, that individual is my problem.
Right.
During due diligence, if I've spotted the situation, then now I can take care of the situation and I can put that cost on the actual current tenant, as well as if you find any discrepancies, maintenance guys come back and say, hey, look, there's a problem with this, there's a problem with that. We identify that, we put that in our spreadsheet, we fire that over to the seller. They either need to fix it or a price reduction needs to happen. So it's the same thing when you're going through. Like I said, it's two sides. Maintenance and contractors are looking at the physical nature of the property, you know, everything that impacts maintenance, and then your forensic audit team, which is your accountant,
right,
property managers and asset managers, they're looking at the property from a different perspective, and everybody then comes together with these reports, and this is where we begin to negotiate. If you remember, I'm not negotiating or arguing the price point
Right. Until
I get into the due diligence. So I'm not going to argue with you. What you tell me you think your property is worth, I take it for the gospel truth
Right. Until
I get into due diligence and I begin to uncover, and then that's when I begin to negotiate.
Excellent. All right, so a lot of people think of when they acquire rental properties that it's just about people paying rent, but there's other ways that you can actually earn income on a property. So why are you looking at other income? You've got that listed in the book as part of the due diligence process. What are other forms of income that we could be, you know?
So there's tons of ways to generate more income.
Right.
So that's part of, you know, asset management. You know, property management is to present to the ownership group additional opportunities for income.
Okay.
You know, whether it be via parking, you know, laundry, can we increase, you know, the washer and dryers,
right.
You know, various different revenue sources, Wi-Fi, whatever it may be, there's opportunities, are there opportunities on that property to produce, additional sources of income. And usually that comes in the form of laundry machines and parking and things of that nature. But yeah, so you're always scrutinizing opportunities to present to increase revenue.
Okay. So we're looking at other income, and then you've got operating expenses listed as well. So we've gone through all these due diligence processes. Why are we now looking at operating expenses as part of the process?
Well, and this is where the maintenance comes in, because they're going to come in now with their report and say, this is what we feel it takes to operate these and punch these units and turn these units and get them market ready. So you have your numbers. So now during your initial underwriting, you might do a junior underwriting and you have a broad brush stroke.
Right.
You know, of what it's going to take to turn these units. But now you're going to have you're going to have an exact number. Your assumptions are going to become exact now during the due diligence process, based upon what you've done after you've walked the units. Because a lot of these, putting LOIs out and quickly evaluating and doing your junior underwriting, you haven't walked the units at this time, so you're speculating. And so you're just using, you know, the formulas that we have in place as far as what we've, you know, based on the age, the location of the property, current management, the way the property is being maintained. You have assumptions that you plug in. And then as you enter into contract and you actually physically walk these units, those assumptions become a little bit more clear, more granular, more accurate. to be able to then go into what we call a senior underwriting process.
Right.
There you would hope at that point you're pretty, you know, you're pretty spot on with your assumptions.
Excellent. Excellent. And then so this is one that I'm familiar with, was advertising cost. A lot of it's become more digital these days, but you can find yourself being roped into annual contracts and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at advertising cost as part of due diligence?
Well, yeah, nowadays, you know, Zillow just announced and just changed things up. So now it costs money to advertise your rental units if you want to advertise more than one. So it's $9 a week. So there are costs to market nowadays. It's not just free like it used to be. So you have to, you're wanting to, there's a lot of things you're doing marketing wise, finances, budgeting, to be able to promote your product. Mm-hmm. But then you're also having to make sure that your image online is one that you want, because you know it might not be a great image. When we bought Park Plaza, it wasn't great. So you know, having to turn that around over time and encouraging your new tenants that you have to get on there on Yelp and Google to chime in, to be able to turn the property around and the reviews, it's really important, because you know that's always a constant battle. So that's something you have to look at now when you're acquiring these investment properties, as you're looking through other income and evaluating contracts on the property and trying to figure out, you know, what they're doing as far as other income. You're scrutinizing that. Now you're scrutinizing what they're doing marketing wise. And, you know, typically, you know, I'd say 7 out of 10 times, you know, you come across where, you know, the management is really not focused on their image these days, their online image.
Okay.
Some might even, you know, haven't even checked what their online image looks like. So, you know, it's important. You know, now you're inheriting that. You're inheriting that reputation. And so it's your job now to put into your management plan how to turn that around.
That makes sense. And then so a lot of our listeners may be acquiring their first properties, but as you grow your portfolio, you are going to start to grow employees. You know, you're going to take down larger projects. So you've included payroll costs as part of your due diligence process. Why are we looking at payroll costs?
Well, you know, every property has a staff.
Okay.
You know, you're looking at larger apartment buildings or staff. So you have to evaluate the payroll, managers, assistant managers, leasing agents, part-time leasing agents, maintenance technician, maintenance supervisor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're scrutinizing payroll. So you know, all that goes into your operating expenses. All that affects your expense load when evaluating and underwriting these projects.
Got it. And then you listed general and administrative costs. So what are we looking at when we're looking at those types
general of general operations, office yeah. stuff, you know, printers, paper,
right.
you know, all the things that that it costs to maintain and run an office these days. You know, a lot less paper.
Yeah.
Most states now still only recognize you putting a physical notice.
Right.
So, you know, we haven't gotten by with just shooting it, attending an email and telling them they're late on rent. So there's still, you know, there's still a necessary or a need to print your notices.
Got it.
Non-payment of rent. So there's still certain notices that most laws do not recognize, you know, either a verbal contact with the tenant or an email. You know, they only recognize the actual letter and the notice that is required by that state.
Got it. Then you listed management fees. So, you know, some people are going to be managing this themselves. Some people are going to be handing this off to a third party property management company. Why are we evaluating the management fee cost as part of our due diligence process?
Very much still an operating cost. So,
okay.
You know, you have to consider the management fees. And even if you're going to do it yourself, you got to factor that in, because hopefully you're not going to do it for free.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know too many, you know, general partners, syndicators out there that are not factoring that in. So you just want to make sure you factor that in, what the going rate is, and put that into your numbers and your underwriting, so you're getting an accurate, detailed perspective and picture as possible in your assumptions and your final senior underwriting.
Excellent. And then, I mean, we've got landscape costs here as well. How can landscaping be factored in? Why are we looking at landscaping?
All contracts. So, you know, it's not just the landscaping, it's every contract that, you know, landscaping contract, pest control contracts, all vendor contracts are being scrutinized at this time. And then you're also looking at warranties at this time when you're looking at the vendor contracts, because, you know, if you just put a new roof on the property and they're saying, oh, yeah, you know, this has a brand new roof, great, and that's awesome. But if something should go wrong, and you need some repairs on that new roof, and you go to call the roof company and they find out that you're a new owner, they go, oh no, the warranty is voided.
Right.
So you got to make sure you look at the lease contracts to make sure that, you know, it's not voided in the lieu of a contract,
right,
or a change in ownership. So you have to be careful, and that's where, you know, again, that's where doing your homework and going through that due diligence process is so important.
Absolutely. And I'm taking you through these one by one because, you know, I want the listeners to really understand, you know, how thorough this is, you know. So in a 30-minute conversation, this is something that will take us anywhere from 30 to 90 days. So, you know, it's not something...
Yeah, we're just touching. We're not even really... You know, we're trying to get granular here in a 30-minute podcast, but it's so much more detailed than even what we're talking. I mean, keep in mind, there's a whole dashboard that I have with multiple spreadsheets open that are, you know, that are obtaining this information. Absolutely. And then, you know, pushing into the final senior underwriting spreadsheet that we have, the apartment analysis where all of our assumptions go in. So to be able to spit out, you know, the cash on cash, the IRR, the detailed cash on cash after waterfall.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's extremely detailed.
Exactly. And we talked about it last week in the contracts. You know, you got to be careful because people are going to be pushing you to, you know, act now, you know, sign on the dotted line. So you've got to really be
close in less than 15 days.
Absolutely.
What I get a lot of these commercial brokers, you know, can we push the due diligence? You know, can we do it in 15 days? No, we can't. You know, when you start speaking French, we cannot.
Right.
You know, it's 30 to 60 days. Now, have I pushed it and closed? Absolutely. There's times where I feel like, you know, with Park Plaza, that the ownership group were not all in on the sale.
Right.
And the main guy was in on it. But, you know, his wife actually was, you know, telling him he should not sell.
Mm.
So I knew that, you know, this was something that I couldn't just beat around the bush. So I closed quickly and closed with cash.
Got it.
Because, you know, it was a situation where sometimes you do. But these are all calculated moves, you know, and not, you know, ones that I encourage the inexperienced to do.
Correct.
So, you know, there's times where, yes, Brian Chavis has, you know, made a quick closing. But, you know, there's always a reason behind it.
Well, you're also an experienced investor, so
you can
break the rules a little bit. So
bend
the rules exactly. So we're almost done with this due diligence section here. Another important part of this due diligence is the unit turnover cost. So why in your words, you know, are we looking at unit turnover as part of due diligence?
That's huge. That's something that's going on a monthly basis. Mm. So if you don't have proper budget put in place or a proper idea of what that's going to cost you, that can throw all your assumptions off. So, you know, you're off by those numbers. You got to remember, these margins, as I said, are so slim these days with these prices where they are. Your pencil has to be extremely sharp. You can't afford to be off. So you have to know, you know, what it's going to cost to turn these properties and what your, you know, what the budget is and what you're about to, you know, undertake as far as, you know, what that looks like on a monthly basis. You got to have control of that. So, you know, walking with the contractors and walking with maintenance technicians and them telling you exactly what it's going to cost to punch the units, that's key. I'm doing that right now because I'm looking at Park Plaza going, product is not moving fast enough. What can I do to make these improvements? Right. Baseboards, popcorn ceiling, wood floors, which one do I want to go with? Do we want to do all of them? You know, right now I'm saying, okay, get me a price for wood flooring. You know, so I'm trying to factor that in. What does that look like? What is that payback period?
Exactly.
We put that in. It's going to now push it up to around $2,000 a turn when we upgrade the units all together. That's, you know, and it's not going to be that expensive because most all units have been upgraded, a level one upgrade.
Mm.
Now we're looking at a level two upgrade, so it should be a little bit more out of pocket. But how much more? You know, sometimes I want to, you know, do I maintain? Do I move the rents back down a tad bit, or do I try to push the rents back up? I won't know that until I get the quotes on what it's going to take to do the floors. Then now I know where I need to move the rents, how I need to move the rents, if I need to keep them. And I say no, because there gets to a point where you're over-improving for your demographic. Got to be careful. There's a fine line, always a fine line that you over-improve.
Right.
And now you put these wood floors in, you've done these upgrades, crown moldings, but you're still, you know, not attracting that prospect tenant that you're looking for. You're still not really getting that dollar amount in the payback period. So it's probably behoove you just to keep the level one improvements and keep the rents under, you know, 940, 980. Let them move quickly. Get that, you know, get those units leased up. Get that revenue in. And then let level two improvements be either for, you know, the refi, the disposition, for the sale for the next owner, to give them an opportunity for value add. Then they come in and do what we did originally to Park Plaza. They take it to level two. So it's a fine line. So if I can get a few units though done, you know, at a certain price point, it's a balancing act. That's why I say it never ends.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, so thorough. It never ends. So one of the final ones that we have listed is utilities. So why are we looking at utilities? I mean, it seems like it's a given, but...
Yeah, you know, just keeping the idea and making sure that, the costs, what can we do to improve costs?
Right.
So one of the things I see is going green.
Okay.
So like common areas, can we change the lighting, you know, to get more efficiency out of the common areas? So, you know, what can I do to shave costs? And then, you know, the main thing is property taxes that I'm looking at.
Okay.
Scrutinizing those, because that throws property tax and insurance with the loom of insurance going up, you know, in the next year. If not right now, policies going up, increasing, mine did. That changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So price adjustments are going to happen according to quotes that we get with insurance and property taxes right now. You know, to be in downtown St. Pete, to play in this market, these property taxes are extremely high. The project is under contract right now that we backed off a little bit because we couldn't make it work with the new property taxes.
Correct.
It's under contract. Whoever purchased that, I'm so interested in figuring out how the heck are they going to make any amount of money
right
with these property taxes. How are they, you know, unless they feel like they can get to at least $1,700 with the efficiencies and close to $2,100 to $2,200 with the one bedrooms.
Wow.
And that's not going to happen.
Not at all.
But that's the only way you're going to be able to cover the new property taxes, that new expense load. So I'm just as curious as the next man to figure out how some of these guys put these projects under contract. And a lot of it is overseas money.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, man, it's, you know, I'm some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. So, you know, a lot of things we got to back off because, you know, you just have to have your finger, you know, on the pulse of what's really going on. Okay. And where the, you know, these expenses, that's, you know, insurance and property taxes are going to always be a major concern.
Got it. And then the final thing that you listed on your due diligence action list is reserve. So a lot of investment properties have like a reserve fund. Mm-hmm. Why are we looking at reserves as part of our process?
Yeah, so you just want to make sure you have enough, either, you know, when you're entering into the final phase with the raise, you want to raise enough to be able to fall back on if some of your assumptions are incorrect, to be able to have enough income in reserves, possibly push into the rent and the net operating income, so you're not doing a capital call up front. Because, you know, if you're a new investor, a new syndicator, and you're doing capital calls right out of the bat, you know, as you just not get the horse out of the stable, that's really not a good look for you as a general mm-hmm. partner. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have a lot of the things covered, possible rehab costs, you know, possibly exceeding. If we had an opportunity to put up our spreadsheet, you'll see where in our budget and in my rehab, it automatically factors in 3 to 5%, you know, of me being incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we call it like an, I forgot what our senior underwriter calls a TJ, but it's almost like a, oh shit.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
He covers me.
You still got
3 to 5%, you know what I mean? That I may be off on my numbers. So, you know, at the end of the day, you just want to make sure you have enough in reserves so you're not caught off guard and you're not trying to do a bunch of capital calls to your investors. That's never a good conversation,
never.
Especially for a new syndicator, brother.
Right. Well, I mean, B, just thank you so much for breaking this all down, man. As you guys can see, as you're listening, there's so much that goes into evaluating a property and acquiring your assets, getting it right so that you can be a successful syndicator and asset manager. And once again, we're going to be giving out a free due diligence action list at brianchavis.com/ DD Action List. Just go to brianchavis.com/DD Action List for that free free resource. And then also additional forms can be found on landlordacademy.com. And make sure that if you enjoy the podcast, you're looking for more development and coaching, join us each week at Multifamily Matrix. You can go to brianchavis.com/matrix where you can learn about our weekly coaching program. We've got several investors in there. You know, there's deals going on. There's conversations. There's, you know, all kinds of alliances being made. And then you get to work with Brian Chavis every single week, which is really exciting. And, man, once again, dude, thank you so much. I mean, just being a wealth of knowledge. And,
I also want to mention too, you know, our program that we have for our consultants.
Yep.
So if you're thinking about starting a subgroup meeting, or you already have a subgroup meeting and you want to attract more, investors, maybe even sellers, whomever, to your group, your subgroup meeting, but you're really not sure about how to develop the right kind of content to bring them in, you know, we have Buy, Rent, and Profit. We're able to license education and training materials to a lot of these individuals. They just have to come take a quick training course with us, and then they're able to have social media content and then meetup content, you know, high-quality content. Most, you know, we all know most of our stuff, if not all of it, is approved for continuing education credits. So not saying the social media content and the meetup content will be CE approved, because it's, you know, it's only 30 minute to 15 minute presentations. But at the end of the day, you're if you're looking to become a consultant and really attract investors, this is the way to go. Come in, get the training, get the licensing right to the material. So now you don't have to worry about trying to figure out, you know, how to develop content. You can just get on social media and be out there putting in high quality content, having high quality content at your meetups, even perform webinars.
Correct.
With this high quality content to help build your brand and help attract investors, help attract sellers. You know, this is going to help you create a pipeline. So we're excited about that.
Correct. And those are, I mean, two important things that are going to help you to close more deals and attract investors is your knowledge and your reputation.
Amen.
You know, we had people talking, you know, asking questions about advertising directly to sellers and investors. You know, when you're advertising without a reputation, you're advertising for your competition. So, you know, you're really just reminding people
that I need that service.
Yeah. But you don't have the reputation that I'm looking for. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. We're going to go on over, dude. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
That's powerful. That was a powerful statement.
Yeah,
man.
That's one of my sales tools for Allison's Alligator. But, you know.
Shout out to Allison's Alligator.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But please join us at brianchavis.com. You're going to be able to see all the events, all the stuff that we've got going on. You're going to be able to sign up for consulting programs. You're going to be able to sign up for coaching. You listen to more podcasts. And thank you to all of our sponsors, Buy It, Rent It, Profit, Multifamily Matrix. And B, thank you so much for joining me, man. And I look forward to speaking with you next week.
Yes, yes. Get out there, subscribe to Buy the Block. Come on. Bring them in. We're ready for them.
All right, guys.
We'll see you next week. But yeah, greatly appreciate everyone. Greatly appreciate everyone who just joined the podcast, who just downloaded it. Please share with a friend, family member. Hell, share with an enemy. Maybe they can become a friend. But by all means, guys, share.
Absolutely. All right, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, brother. See you next week.
Take care.